Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Rick Ingram Talks to Strangers. And now, here's your host, Rick Ingram.
All right, guys, welcome back to Rick Ingram Talks to Strangers. I got two strangers here. This is a special. I think they're identical twins. So we have Austin and Aaron Arnold here. And I was just telling them, this is the first time that I ever blocked a guest before interviewing them. But they tweeted they were going to be on the show. I'm like, oh, that's cool. And then immediately had about 75 tweets from Russian crypto bots telling me that if I like the pinned tweet on them, then they'll enter me into a drawing to win crypto something. And so then I lost it.
You could get in early.
Listen.
In Russia.
There's never going to be a time that I'm going to get in on crypto.
Good.
And I understand it's working for people. I understand for it to work for you guys, you have to trick other people into buying into this bullshit. I don't honestly understand it at all.
Somebody tricked us. So.
Yeah. So how long have you been investing in crypto?
All right.
Are you the leader, by the way?
No, we're both just like since childhood, you know, 50-50.
Well, wow. He'll front run it. I'll take the back half.
Nice. Okay. As long as there's some teamwork going on here.
That's right.
Yeah. So first of all, how old are you guys?
31.
31. Okay. And both of you said it, so I know the story checks out. All right. So
that's how old you want your crypto guru to be, right?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, for as much of a pyramid scheme as this seems like, 31 is the perfect age. You guys are millennials. I go, they're doing stuff I don't understand. So
Yeah. That's
really got to be what it's about. How do you start getting invested in crypto?
First off, I just want to say thank you for having us.
Yeah.
I don't know how you usually introduce, like, oh, you know, how you book the guests, but I saw you do just a random stand-up show at the Comedy Store, and this was pre-COVID years ago, and you were the only name I didn't know, or the only one I remember. I saw a lot of names up there, a lot of names the audience would recognize, and I thought a lot of them, you know, it's comedy, whatever. It's they're going through their bits, their acts. You could tell you were incredibly natural. I thought you were the funniest guy there, and I was like, I gotta add this guy on Instagram.
You're right. You're right about everything you just said.
And then 2 years later, you put out the thing, hey, we're looking for strangers, and I was like, hell yeah, let's do it.
Nice.
They get you.
Yeah, this is called the sandwich method. I know about salesmanship. So, all right. Well, I appreciate that. I agree. I think a lot of times the famous comedians on the list are not as good as me, but that's just my personal thing. I have a bad attitude that way. What about you? Have you ever seen me? Let's hear some compliments.
Yeah, I honestly don't know if I've ever seen you. I come into the Comedy Store, you know, fairly often. One of the waitresses, we're really close with her boyfriend, Dana. So
okay. We're
here a lot. We used to hang out in the VIP room back pre-COVID.
Nice, yeah. That was the glory days.
Yeah, the glory days.
We
sure.
had the comics bar back there.
Yeah. For sure.
God. All right, so you guys have been hanging out.
Yeah.
Now I know you're not as... just trying to sell me on something here. You guys are part of the
we can hang. We can hang.
You've hung before.
Yeah. Anyway, to answer your question, you're wondering like how we got started in crypto. And we were joking at the beginning, but I just want to say, you know, we don't like sell ourselves as crypto gurus or like, you know, financial experts or anything. We, you know, really do sell ourselves as regular guys. And, you know, I thought from the very beginning, if Bitcoin crypto is the future, if it's for everybody, surely I could figure it out. And that's kind of how we started the channel. But how I got into crypto originally started, I feel like a lot of people got started in 2017 with that big run up to 20,000. Bitcoin ran up to 20,000 in 2017. It was the top of the bubble near the end of the year. That year, I had just, me and my ex-girlfriend broke up. So all of a sudden, I had like way more free time. And I wanted.
You were loving life again.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wanted like some sort of hobby, like maybe I can monetize. I was like, I need to do something with my life here. And, originally was just interested in trading cryptocurrency, and then early in 2018 we started the YouTube channel Altcoin Daily, which is one of the biggest cryptocurrency YouTube channels out there. And we started the YouTube channel, like I said, like, you know, if crypto's for everybody, we can figure it out, and we can like share the news and talk about our opinion. And
and so what did you have jobs prior to this? What did you do?
We're also in the filmmaking industry out here, actors. Like, we were from Ohio, moved to California to act, to make films. We still do that. Obviously, it's doing our own thing with the YouTube page. it's a whole lot easier to have that control and then still, you know, audition whenever that comes up.
Right. And what part of Ohio are you guys from?
Cleveland area.
Okay. And do you love Ohio?
Oh, my God, the best state.
I love it.
Besides California.
I mean,
I ask because I have a lot of friends from Ohio, and they always are trying to tell me how great Ohio is, and I just don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good state. I mean, we moved out here, then LeBron James shortly after when he joined the Lakers.
He followed.
So it's like the biggest names got out of Ohio.
Yeah, that's so smart. Yeah. There's really no one left in Ohio.
Yeah.
All right, so let me ask you this, because one of my friends is from Ohio, and he constantly talks about how amazing Columbus, Ohio is and how it's one of the best cities in America. And I personally think it's just another shitty city. What's your opinion on Columbus?
Well, I mean, you know, if you ever go on, like, tour across the country, plenty of comics do, and they say, hey, you got to check out, you know, the cool part of town, and it's just a piece of shit.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's how it goes.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm looking for verification that Columbus isn't as cool as my buddy thinks it is.
It's college town. So if
is that where Ohio State is?
Yes, that's the big city. So
I thought if we stayed in Ohio, like, I feel like we'd, like, live in Columbus.
Okay.
Yeah, so young vibe.
It's top tier Ohio.
Yeah. We're from the Cleveland area, which is different, but definitely Columbus and Cleveland, two best parts.
What does Ohio think about crypto? Because I feel like they would not be on board with this.
There's some people running for political office who are into cryptocurrency, which is cool. Throughout the country, we're seeing more and more of that.
They accepted crypto as payment for taxes years ago. Then somebody else got in office, and they switched that off. But generally speaking, Ohio is usually a swing state, so it's on and off of what ideas, you know,
what do the
there.
People want, and switch to that way.
Rick, what do you think about crypto? That's what I want to
know. I honestly, for the life of me, don't understand why anyone would invest in it. But what I know is that you're investing basically in an idea of money, and there's nothing of actual value to it. And so basically it's like the religion of investments. It's all faith-based.
And just like gold.
But with gold, there's actual gold.
That's true.
You can actually have gold. But with Bitcoin, what do I get? What is driving Bitcoin prices other than convincing people that they should be investing in it?
I feel like Bitcoin's a good one to start on. It was the first one. I think it's one of the safer investments. You know, not financial advice, obviously, but
yeah. Bitcoin is decentralized, permissionless, censorship resistant, cannot be debased. There's only 21 million of them that'll ever be created. No government can print more. And when you're looking for something, especially with the Federal Reserve printing 40% of the money supply, I'm sure, you know, you've heard these words around before in the last 18 months. Like, people are looking for some sort of thing that cannot be debased. To put their money in as they have to restructure their ideas. Like, oh, okay, I guess the U.S. dollar is losing value every year. What do I do?
Okay, and is it possible for Vladimir Putin and the Russians to use Bitcoin to continue to finance their atrocities despite, you know, trying to sanction them and whatnot? Is this a workaround for them? So is this investment capable of murdering Ukrainians? Go.
The cool thing about Bitcoin is that anybody can use it, and if only one, you know, if only the good guys could use it, then it probably wouldn't be that valuable. But since anybody can use it, the good guys and bad guys, I'll get right up on the mic here.
Yeah.
Since anybody can use it, the good guys or the bad guys,
it's an even playing field.
Exactly. Putin could use it to avoid sanctions. The Ukrainians are currently using it to help get funding to fight the Russians.
Right. I see what you did there. You turned it around.
Yeah. And just to simplify it even further, I mean, what did Satoshi Nakamoto, the guy who created Bitcoin, what did he invent? Back when Bitcoin was created in 2009, basically what he invented was digital scarcity online, Before that, you know, LimeWire, copy as many songs as you want. You cannot copy something on the blockchain. So he was able to create scarcity online.
All right, and then NFTs.
Yeah,
this is hot right now.
Yeah, I hear the Comedy Store is going to be doing an NFT soon.
Look, that's a rumor. I am not behind that at all.
Yeah.
As far as I can tell, you can buy a digital picture of a garbage pail kid, And then that is worth something, even though someone else could just screenshot a picture of that thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the value? How is that valuable?
And I think everybody who gets into NFTs understands that you can, like, screenshot the JPEG. I don't think anybody's going into NFTs thinking that you can't screenshot it.
You could take a picture of the Mona Lisa. Doesn't mean you own that Mona Lisa. But if you think the world is trending more digital, yes, you can take as many screenshots as you want or pictures. But now there's digital verification that, hey, I am the owner. I own this thing. Or if the Comedy Store is releasing a thing, you can have verifiable ownership that, hey, I was there at this event on that day. People would love to be like, oh, people still keep their Woodstock tickets. Like, I was there that day, and that's valuable to me.
Right.
And there's always been a market value for, like, those kind of, like, collectibles, the popular ones at least. Yeah.
I don't get it, guys. I don't get it.
I should start with Bitcoin because it's,
There. And by the way, I'm looking to get into starting my own cryptocurrency. I don't know if you guys are the guys to talk to about this. I talked to John about this before. I'm looking to push the envelope when it comes to faith-based currencies. Christ coin. This is the big one I've been pushing. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to specifically convince the Christians to give us their money. And then we give them Christ coin. I don't know if that's something you guys could.
It sounds like the a lot of affinity Christian preachers do that already without the cryptocurrency.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. I want to be a televangelist of crypto. Is that something we could do?
You can do it. I'm not advising that, but it's definitely possible.
Now we're talking.
Let me ask you this, Rick. How valuable is it to you as a comedian to not be censored with all these platforms taking people's ideas and telling you what you're allowed to say? Like, that's valuable to any artist.
Well, the way I look at it is people can censor all they want. That only makes people who are against being censored more a bigger fan of what you do. So there's a lot of people who say, you shouldn't talk about these things. There's a lot of cancel culture or whatever that shit is. All of that is important if you want to be able to make a name for yourself saying what you want. So in the 80s and 90s, it was going against religious groups who were trying to, they don't want you cursing, they don't want you talking about drugs, and that made people go, hey, it's cool to curse and talk about drugs. So are you saying that crypto makes it so that you can't censor money?
I'm saying that one of the innovations, the beauties of cryptocurrency is you eliminate the middleman. For example, with Bitcoin, you eliminate the banks. No longer do you have to ask for permission to withdraw your money or have a 3-day wait or whatever it is. You're in control. You're self-sovereign, meaning that all the responsibility is on you. Now, not everybody wants that. Like, your average grandma doesn't want that responsibility. If she loses her password, she's going to want to know, oh, I can contact the front desk and get a new password. Self-sovereignty means if you lose your private key for Bitcoin, it's gone.
Yeah.
So there's a trade-off for all that. So that eliminated the middleman for banks. We're starting to see you can build on Ethereum. All these there's people globally right now building, trying to find platforms that, any internet or Spotify or YouTube can censor you like that. If you're on a decentralized platform, then nobody can stop you.
Right. I don't get it still. Even I just don't understand how it benefits people.
Well, like with Bitcoin specifically, and it is like, it takes a while, I feel like. I don't think anybody gets it right away. And it's like, first you have to understand what money is, and then you have to understand, like, why, like, can you steel man the other person's argument? Why do they say Bitcoin is valuable? And, Bitcoin is now 13 years old. It's over a decade old. It's had a lot of time to get battle tested, and there's still a long way to go. But today, in 2022, the properties that give Bitcoin value is a money that it's like digital gold. It's censorship resistant, undebasable.
How do people censor money?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Well, like with the banks, we don't need to get political, but like in Canada, they had
disgusting, right? Can we all agree on the Canadians being just disgusting human beings?
Yes, yes.
Okay, good.
My
girlfriend's Canadian.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, we should call her and you should dump her tonight because we don't put up with Canadians around here.
Ah, all right. Now she's watching. But
all right.
Anyway, you know, Trudeau passed the Emergencies Act and basically said, you know, anybody that, you know, regardless how you feel about the truckers, maybe you like them, maybe you don't. But basically they said, you know, we don't agree with you. So we're going to now freeze your bank account, cancel your credit cards. If you have mortgages, it's basically like erasing you from the financial system. So in that way, that's a pretty extreme example of why you would want to maybe store some of your wealth in something that, you know, nobody can get their hands on.
And after that, the Bitcoin community started donating money to these truckers. And then the Canadian government reached out to these Bitcoin wallets and said, hey, we need you to censor these too. We're legally telling you, you got to censor these. The Bitcoin wallet said, hey, we're just software. Like, people run software, whatever. We're not controlling money. There is no way for us to stop these transactions, to take their money away. And then the people stayed in control.
How much do you guys know about truckers?
Oh, they're the back. They're the backbone of this country.
Here's the thing.
You give the truckers the Bitcoin, and what are they going to spend it on? Whores. Because that's what truckers do. And a lot of times they kill the whores. So in a way, we're financing murdering prostitutes.
You know what? I'm not endorsing murder, but they should be able to spend their money on whatever they want.
Freedom, baby.
Unbelievable. Are you guys Trump guys?
Huge. Independence.
Independent, yeah.
Independent is what Trump guys say now, just so you know.
Yeah,
that's voted third party.
You got to say independent.
Did you really?
Los Angeles.
Yep.
Who'd you vote for?
It was more of a protest vote. I do not remember the name.
The first time Trump
That's
ran,
a man who believes in what he's voting
but,
for.
But, I mean, California didn't need my vote anyway.
Yeah. They never do.
Now, the first time when Trump was running, I voted for Gary Johnson. And then the second time, I voted for Biden. But it's not like I liked him.
What a great job he's doing, though, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's get into it.
Now, here's the thing. On a smaller scale, Rick, you know, we use the emergencies example with Canada. You know, that's a pretty extreme example of the government censoring people's money. But on a smaller example that, like, could affect a lot of people across America, you know, whether it's your bank or, you know, even like PayPal. I don't know if you've ever used PayPal, but a lot of small business owners use it. And they, like, hold up your money all the time, and they make it extremely difficult a lot of the time for people to get access to their money.
They can claw it back anytime if there's one complaint for a small business owner.
But I mean, I've heard people saying that it's impossible to get rid of your Bitcoin, or like you can't just sell it and get money for it or whatever.
You can, definitely. Bitcoin has the most liquidity out of all of crypto, and it's very easy to sell it and get money immediately.
So let's say I have Bitcoin and I want to take money out. What do I do?
If you want to exchange, you can spend the Bitcoin on if somebody accepts Bitcoin, or if there's plenty of apps that just...
You go to CoinbaseCrypto.com, and right now Bitcoin's trading at $40,000. So if you had one, you get $40,000.
You can sell it for USD immediately, US cash, or you can... There's plenty of apps now, which is very different from 4 or 5 years ago, plenty of apps now where tons of places will accept Bitcoin or crypto without even knowing it, just with like third-party apps.
And so then the money goes where? It goes into a bank account?
It depends. Does the person that you just bought the item, do they, if they want to hold on to the Bitcoin, they can do that. If you're using like a third-party app, it'll just get converted into U.S. dollars, and they'll accept the U.S. dollars. And, you know, for every buyer, there's a seller. Somebody's buying the Bitcoin, whether it's like, you know, an exchange or whoever.
Dogecoin.
Yes.
I know a lot of really cheap, shitty human beings who are really pushing this for a while. Can you just start your own cryptocurrency anytime you want? Does there have to be an actual backing to it? How does it work?
Dogecoin's garbage, but it has a fun meme. But it has a fun meme, so people love it.
And it has a fun meme?
Meme, the Doge. That's why people love it.
Yeah. Okay, so because it has a picture of a dog.
But the thing is, anybody, if you're a coder, which we're not, but if you're a coder, anybody can start your own cryptocurrency. Now, just because you do doesn't mean it has value.
Right.
Like... You know, it doesn't mean it has liquidity, so you can't get in and out of cash or whatever. Doesn't mean it's accepted anywhere. And there's tons of ghost coins on CoinMarketCap, or you can just look up online, and they're worthless.
And anybody can start their own cryptocurrency, and that's why, you know, I feel like the crypto space, you know, so many people are tainted to it because so many people start like money grabs or stuff like that. Or even if it's a good idea, sometimes good ideas just fail, and it's so easy for people to buy into something which is either a straight up scam or just a bad idea.
Yeah, see, that's how I don't.
Lucky
I don't,
we're
I don't
here,
see how
Rick.
It, yeah, I mean, look, you guys have been explaining it to me, and it still makes no sense to me, but. I know people are into it, so, you know.
Well, Rick, do you think that the world is getting more digital or less digital?
It's probably getting more digital, but I'm not.
Yeah.
That's fair.
So I could care less.
Dude, you're on Instagram now. You're doing podcasts.
I use social media basically to just talk about how I hate shit. And, you know, if there's value to that, then I'm rich. But
yeah. I mean, like, being online so much, it's like still like a relatively new concept in all of humanity. You know, it's only in the 90s when everybody first started getting online. And
yeah.
then, you know, 2005 when YouTube was created. And now, you know, digital scarcity was created in 2009. And, you know, I think in 100 years from now, you know, everybody's, you know, this Oculus Rift that or this Oculus thing like in the metaverse.
Right.
It's kind of clunky now, these big goggles. But in the future, just like everything, it's going to get a lot smaller, sleeker, easier to use. And everybody's going to be online. And I think having digital scarcity is just a natural progression for that.
I can't picture myself ever getting involved in any of that. Like, I just don't, like, the metaverse sounds like the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, that's kind of like a catch-all term. I feel you.
I keep seeing people talking about buying, that they bought property in the metaverse. And in my mind, I literally go, this is the dumbest motherfucker I've ever heard in my life. Like, what's the point? Why would I need property in a metaverse?
To be next to Snoop Dogg, next to his digital property? I don't know. Listen, the metaverse is still really new. I'm not saying, you know, who knows what that's going to, if you need to buy actual property. I don't know.
I don't own digital land because it's so new, and I don't see what value this should be, or will it have value in the future. I'd rather wait years. Like, I like Bitcoin. I see the value there when the U.S., when the Federal Reserve is debasing the currency we have. If you like gold, there's a lot of reasons to like Bitcoin. But the metaverse, super new, so there's a future, but I just don't know where that future's going.
Not financial advice, but if there's somebody listening right now, you know what, I tell this to all my friends who aren't going to, like, follow the market every day like we do. It's no big deal just to start with, like, only Bitcoin. In my opinion, Bitcoin is definitely going to be around in 10 years, or only Bitcoin and Ethereum. I mean, each time you buy a new coin or a new NFT, you're increasing your own risk, and it's okay. Like for me personally, I use, like, you're not going to get as much gains with Bitcoin. That's just compared to other cryptocurrencies. You're going to get way more gains with Bitcoin compared to regular stuff. But I use Bitcoin in El Salvador. They're using Bitcoin as their money now because their government money is such crap.
What, by the way, one of the worst countries out there.
Yeah. Well, they're getting better with this Bitcoin thing. My only point was that for us in America, you know, we don't really, like, the U.S. dollar is good enough, really, even though it is, like, losing value slowly. But, like, for me personally, I use, and a lot of people in America, I use Bitcoin as my savings account, where if I kept money in a savings account right now, I'd earn, like, 0.25% every year. But, like, you know, Bitcoin's going to grow, you know, 40%, 60%, 100% every year. And, you know, you have to.
Does it grow like that every year? Because aren't there times where it just drops dramatically?
Oh, yeah,
2018.
Volatility is opportunity. And it's like, it's always like, you know, it's always, it's on a dip right now, but generally speaking, it's gone up over the last 13 years. It used to be zero, man. Zero and no marketing budget, Rick, worth $0. Only a few people control Bitcoin. Now it's worth, you know, 45,000 or whatever it is. And
but it's worth zero to me, though.
I bet if somebody gave you a Bitcoin, you could get some money for it.
Do you say 40,000? So you'd have to spend $40,000 to buy a Bitcoin?
Well, you don't need to buy a whole Bitcoin. You could spend a dollar and get, you know, Bitcoin.
A piece of a Bitcoin.
Yeah. But if you had a whole one, you could sell it for what a whole one's worth. Rick, isn't this exciting, man?
Absolutely
not. This is the future, man.
Listen, there's a lot about what you guys got going on that I just can't get behind.
By the way, the channel is called Altcoin Daily. Feel free to subscribe.
Definitely check it out. I should mention I despise YouTube. Is that going to be a problem?
My gosh, man. It's like the internet got popular in the 90s. And, you know, before then, comedians didn't really have a way to get on people's radar besides doing The Tonight Show or something.
Yeah.
Dane Cook, regardless how you think about him, he changed the game in the mid-2000s by, you know, going
online. MySpacing?
By MySpacing, dude. Yeah. And, like, Harmful If Swallowed? It's, you know, everybody from our generation remembers that because Dane Cook was so popular, and that is a really good album, I think. And
also, though, fuck Dane Cook.
Oh, yeah? Why?
Just because he's a terrible human being, and I don't like his comedy, but also he once threw car keys at me when I was not parking cars, and for that, Dane Cook will always be the Bitcoin of comedy to me. I don't get it. I don't know why it's popular.
Make him the Doge, maybe.
Yeah.
Is the Doge.
I used to be a bartender. I used to be a bartender at a restaurant, and Dane Cook came in with his buddy. And his buddy was a total asshole. But, like, Dane Cook was cool compared to him. So I still like him. I'm a fan.
Do you remember who his buddy was?
I mean, he thought he was the king of the world. He was like, he came up to my manager. He's like, do you know who I'm with? Do you know who I'm with right now?
This
the top
Jay Davis.
Comedian 100% in the world.
Jay Davis. Had to be. Yeah.
And the thing was, like, Dane Cook ordered like a 3-course meal, and his friend ordered like just one thing. So of course, you know, the 3-course meal is like an appetizer and then the main course. So you're not going to get your main course when, you know,
well,
somebody else
appetizer.
Is getting an appetizer, and yeah. this guy didn't get it.
Yeah,
anyway.
That sounds like Jay. Yeah.
Anyway, hey, let's talk about NFTs a little bit.
Okay. Tell me about it.
Well, I just wanted to say, you know, it's like NFTs really only gained like major popularity in the last couple of years, unlike, you know, more established things like Bitcoin or Ethereum or something like that. But, you know, it did it for me with NFTs. And NFTs could be so many things. Like, but as we know them today, they're kind of like just pictures and
yeah.
art or like digital collectibles. That's how we know them today. And the thing that like brought me over with like understanding that was that, I mean, what is like a collectible baseball card today? It's just cardboard and ink, and people pay big money for that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if something is verifiably scarce online, why wouldn't somebody pay, you know, why wouldn't that have a market value as well? I mean, they can get way overpriced for sure, because that's, you know, just this nascent industry is exploding. And then even more than that, if you did have digital collectibles, think about this. In my house, you know, I have like my prized, you know, collectible, the baseball, the signed baseball. And I bring my friends over, and my 6 friends see that every year, or my mom's 1 friend, and 10 people see it the whole year. But I have a digital collectible, hundreds of people can see that, thousands of people potentially. And it's just, you know, if you think the world is getting more digital, I think it's just a natural progression.
Yeah, I think that's where I get lost, because I don't like the digital world. I think
yeah.
it makes human beings horrible. And it makes people present, a lot of times they're trying to present what they want people to think they are, but that's a facade, obviously. And other times it's just people presenting themselves as the worst human beings ever.
Do you have a kid, though?
Yeah, I have 2 kids.
Well, those kids are only growing up, only knowing the internet, only all their friends are on social media.
Not
on
Rick
my
has
watch.
Anything to do with
yeah.
it.
Yeah, these kids will not be interneting. So.
Nice, dude, nice.
My daughter used to go on YouTube and watch these videos, and she got so annoying that we removed the YouTube app from her iPad. And then she would be like, I wish you guys would let me watch YouTube. And I'd be like, well, I wish you didn't sing annoying songs. So
yeah.
one of us gets to make the decisions.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm 100% willing to accept that I am not on the same hope for the future that society is on. But, yeah, I don't know. I just I enjoy the real world, I guess.
We're just seeing all these, like, just, I mean, NFTs are a lot more than just digital art, but in the last couple years, you know, we've seen all these, like, artists be able to, like, fund themselves, and, you know, through no middleman, they can just put something online and people will buy into it, regardless if it's overvalued or not. Even if people are just paying $100 for it, they can do that now with NFTs, and there's some kind of relationship where it's like, this is the unique one, this is the digital scarcity, and you can verifiably prove that, and artists are able to, you know, earn some coin. I don't want to see the painters take all of that market share. I want to see the comics take some of that market share and say, hey, I'm an up-and-coming comic. I can release some NFTs, and if people like me, they can potentially buy some of it, and we can all win.
I mean, I don't understand at all what you're talking about.
I can't wait to buy the Comedy Store NFT when all you guys are, you know, fudding it and saying it's shit. I can't wait to buy it and hold on to it.
Listen,
and
if
comment.
They give me one, I'll just send it to you. That's how little I care about these things.
Hey, I'll take another beer.
Can we get him another beer?
Before this is over and I have to pay for it myself.
I just don't. Where are we at? Oh, okay.
Rick, we got all the time in the world, man. We can, you know.
Listen, I have to go to a set at one point. So we're going to stop for a second, and then Sarah's going to come on and ask more questions, because she might understand better than I do. But we'll
cool.
be right back, all right?
Good.
All right. Say hi to everyday people. Guys, we're back. We're
yeah.
here to talk more crypto, NFTs. What does that stand for?
Non-fungible token.
Non-fungible token.
Boom.
And I just want to say, if you're listening on YouTube, make sure you like, subscribe. If you're watching on iTunes, why not give Rick Ingram like a 5-star review? That's really going to help this podcast.
Unbelievable.
I feel like I feel like I need to help this podcast, Rick. I want to see
Unbelievable.
It be number one.
Hey, is this podcast an NFT yet? I still don't get it. Can we NFT it?
Should we?
Yeah, I think it's
you
time.
You can.
We've been talking to LimeWire. They just got into the audio NFT space.
Really?
Well, a company that bought LimeWire, they're now in the audio NFT space.
Non-fungible.
That's funny, because LimeWire was the one where you just like copied a bunch. Yeah. And, like,
yeah.
You downloaded like Smack That by Eminem, and it was filled with like just like people shouting over it. Like,
nice.
Like real world or whatever.
Now I'm listening.
Here's my question. I thought an NFT was how you hid your Bitcoin and how you hid your crypto in order to hold the value. So like say like you did buy say Bit because Bitcoin got up to 60,000, right? So mm-hmm. like say then you buy an NFT for 60,000 with one Bitcoin. Now your Bitcoin stays at 60 if that NFT always stays at 60.
What's
at
the
that
deal
value.
With that? Is that true?
I think we're talking about like the money laundering kind of thing.
That's exactly what
people started using it for.
Yeah.
And that's 100% happens in real art, 100% happens in digital art. The catch is though, if you spend 60,000 on an NFT that you own, somebody else has to buy it. So that's super risky because there's truly no liquidity out there for a random piece of artwork. There might be, but with Bitcoin, there's a ton of liquidity. There's tons of it's on a lot of exchanges. It's super risky to.
But you can buy an NFT with cash.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. So which is like why a lot of people, like especially celebrities, were buying their own NFTs so that they could sell them for cash. Is what I thought with crypto and then not having to pay taxes, right? On like.
You would have to pay taxes.
On the sale.
But you could make a lot of money. I mean, art in general, real art even, is subjective. So if somebody says, I'm going to pay like $500,000 for that when it's not worth that, then they could be like, they could like make money maybe. And just like with digital art, you can do the same thing. And there's plenty of like legitimacy too, but I mean, that does happen as well.
Yeah. I mean, well, I heard about crypto from this, because I'm a big sports nut, and Russell Okung, who played.
Yes.
Yeah. He's like a big... You know, Bitcoin. He asked for his whole last year to be paid in Bitcoin, and he would only negotiate his contract, but to be paid in Bitcoin and stuff like that.
Hold on, you're taking financial advice from a guy with brain damage?
No, this I'm not. I'm just saying that's how I heard about
really
it.
Smart.
I did not. But
he might have been really smart. This guy's been in the league for a few
like,
years.
No, he is like the guy for the NFLPA.
Listen,
like, he is like,
you know, that Bitcoin's worth a lot more. It was actually a couple years ago. So
Now he made a good decision.
Well, when he ends up murdering his family. We'll see who thinks that investment idea was smart.
I guess, like, I also have a question, and, like, John asked this question, too, but just, like, say, like, there's, like, some sort of subreddit, like they did with GameStop, where they just go, hey, let's all pull out our crypto at the same time. What happens to the market if that happens?
Well, like, with things like...
What?
Someone would have to buy it still, right?
Yeah, somebody would have to buy it for sure. And, like... Like things with like, here's the thing, Bitcoin compared to like regular like assets has a small market cap, but like Bitcoin and Ethereum compared to a lot of cryptocurrency has a large market cap. So like, for instance, like Bitcoin and Ethereum, if a bunch of people said, we're going to sell all of our Bitcoin and Ethereum, you could sell like tens, hundreds of millions of dollars and not affect the price that much because that has a lot of liquidity. But then like smaller things, you would like tank it, and like a lot of like more like unestablished or unlegitimate projects like pump and dumps is kind of like what we're talking about. We're gonna hype it up and then we're gonna sell it all. That's
like Dogecoin.
Definitely.
Dogecoin was just like a bunch of people saying like, hey, you know,
we're gonna make this valuable.
Well, exactly. It's like, we don't believe in the United States government's made up money. We're gonna choose to use this made up fake money. And they all said, we believe in Doge, and Elon Musk was heading that up.
And the thing is, Dogecoin started as just a joke. There are actually projects that start where it's like their purpose is just to sell to like a greater fool and make money and like scam people. But Dogecoin was originally started as a joke, but people use it as like a pump and dump kind of.
What does Bitcoin pay you guys for this?
Bitcoin has no marketing team. It has no CEO. If the government wanted to, you know, get rid of Bitcoin, there's no office they could go to. You know, it's decentralized all over the world, so Bitcoin pays us nothing. And it went from zero.
I wish they would.
Yeah, Bitcoin went from zero to what it is now with no marketing team, nobody, just people opting into it.
That's very cool. Do you guys watch the show Startup? On Netflix?
I've not seen
no,
it.
I don't.
Oh, it's all about creating crypto and like a new blockchain like for deregulate.
Cool. I watched Squid Game.
To get away from banks and to start, you know, a completely sustainable currency.
I don't understand what's wrong with banks. You know,
can't they be hacked? Can Bitcoin
I'm pro
be
bank.
in America, you know, for most people, there's nothing you know too wrong with banks. It works pretty well, but still, you know, if you know, like, how would you describe it, Austin?
To what's
like, well, like, what's wrong with banks? There's really nothing wrong with banks in America. But
it's just censorship, meaning that you have to ask for your money. Like we're seeing it in Ukraine. Like Ukraine did nothing wrong. They got attacked, yet there's a bank run. They're only allowing $3,000 per person in Ukraine banks, even though it's your money, because mm-hmm. they just don't have enough to give back to everybody.
Right.
So you don't want – you don't have – I'm not saying go all in Bitcoin, but you obviously want some in this, some in that. So you're not at the full mercy if the worst should happen.
Okay. Here's the question, though. If you're in Ukraine right now and you take your $3,000 out and that's all you can get and you've got $200,000 in Bitcoin, how do you get that money?
Oh my God, that's so easy. You already control that money. So you could keep your people can keep their like for a granny. We were talking about like a granny earlier who doesn't maybe want to be her own bank because she can't handle that. And that's totally like a lot of people can't handle it. That's fine. You can keep it in things like Coinbase or Gemini or exchanges. They'll control your money for you. And if something happens, you can just deal with them. And that's perfectly fine. But for people who do want like full access to the Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, they do have the option to be their own bank. And say you were in Ukraine and needed to get out of Ukraine. You could take it in like a little like flash drive type thing, a little hardware wallet and get it out of the country. But maybe you're afraid that would even get confiscated. Mm-hmm. And first of all, if you try to take, you know, a bag of money or a bag of gold out of the country, that definitely get confiscated. But if you can't even get that flash drive out, the flash drive is just you can get any flash drive and put your like password words in and just get access to your coins because your coins are always on the blockchain. They're not mm-hmm. in that flash drive. They're not in the cold storage hardware wallet. So my point is that in Ukraine, if you want, anybody can do this. You just memorize the words. You memorize your private key, they call it, your passwords. And you can access that Bitcoin anywhere, and you just can control it in your mind. You can travel on a plane, never carry anything, and just anywhere you go in the world, you can get access to that crypto. Isn't that cool, Rick?
What do you do when you're in Ukraine and there's no fucking internet? And what are you supposed to do?
Well, thanks to Elon, there is Starlink. He made that happen, so it's his own private satellites.
Let me tell you this, by the way, while we're talking about Elon Musk, one of the biggest piles of shit on the planet.
Yeah, get into it.
This guy came to a comedy show maybe 4 years ago.
You're told this 5 times.
I love to hear it. At Comedy Store?
Came to the Comedy Store with Johnny Depp's ex-wife, and because this guy is so full of himself, he just sat in the corner and talked like he was at a bar the entire show. And for that reason, we should bankrupt him. I don't know if you guys have that kind of power.
That's rude. Elon, that you shouldn't have done that. That's very rude. You know, you need to deal with regular people more and know that that's not okay. But other than that, sometimes he has some good
ideas. I like
that
he addressed the camera. He knows
Elon's watching.
Elon watches all the crypto stuff.
Yeah.
My question is, like, are you saying that coins, and when I first heard of coins, I thought they were explained to me as storage. It was almost like the cloud, right? Like how there's only so much storage in the world, and the coins represented storage in the world. So that clearly is wrong because it's just an investment in money. It's not exactly space.
At its like most simple like thing, what is Bitcoin? What is the blockchain? It is just
I don't know what a blockchain means. That's the other thing.
It's just a digital ledger. So if we were exchanging money for a period of time, it would all be written down in a ledger in a book. And it's just a digital ledger. And it's because it's decentralized and everybody has access to the same ledger. If I try to change it and say I have more money than what I really have, because you guys all have copies of the ledger, you guys would immediately be able to call my, you know, BS, and it would not accept that transaction of money that I don't have.
So instead of like banks who give loans to people when they
banks
don't
are great,
have...
by the way.
looking for a sponsorship over there.
If everybody pulled their money out of the bank,
is WaMu still available? No.
There wouldn't be that money, right? Because banks aren't liquid. right? Like, if everybody decided to pull all their money out of the banks,
right,
they're not liquid.
They wouldn't have enough money because banks aren't liquid. Like, they give loans to people on the assumption that, like, this money, people are going to keep paying their debts and their loans and their payments. But if everybody pulled their money out of Bitcoin or their crypto wallet, everybody would have their money.
Banks loan correct.
No?
Well, the value would go down over time. If
everybody's selling, then if there's sell the value pressure, would go down. But, like, isn't that bullshit, though? The banks can, like, they take your money, they can fractionalize it and lend it out, and they make tons of money, and all you're getting is, like, 0.25%. You're not making the money.
Yeah. I mean, I have, like, a Coinbase account. I have Stash. Like, I've been doing it. Like, we made a down payment on our house based on crypto. Like, but... I assumed that was the big deal with it, was that it's liquid.
But to be real with you, if everybody in the world decided they wanted to sell their Bitcoin, the price would tank. And there is, like, a level of, like, you have to, like, people have to find it valuable for it to have a market value. So if everybody in the world decided that they wanted to sell, like, it would...
But the fact that there's only 21 million period and there'll never be more, that makes it to me more of a good investment. To me, that's the biggest selling point.
Is I don't, like, even know
that
what
you can't
means.
Print it. You can't print it.
How does the value go? Like, you said, it started at 20,000. I'm screaming just so the mics can pick me up. How did you get to 40,000 that you can pay everybody back? Like, at least with the bank, I'm with you. I'm very pro bank.
Yeah.
It says on every window, $10,000. We can guarantee this.
Yeah.
If you have a million here, the most you know 125, you're getting yourself into Bitcoin. When you get in at 20,000, now they're worth 40,000. If, like she said, if everybody on Reddit goes, okay, this is the date, we go to ATMs or we get it on our Coinbase, we click the button at noon Eastern, mm-hmm. it transfers everything back to our accounts. There's not enough money. You're dealing with the same thing, except there's no bank to call.
Definitely. I mean, that what you say is true.
Case dismissed. But, go to the banks.
But, I mean, more and more people are opting into, you know, Bitcoin every day, whether it's like 1% of their portfolio or whatever it is. But I would just say that...
People buy fractions.
The price of anything is just supply and demand. Yeah. So if there's more demand, then the price is going to go up. If there's more supply, then price will go down, and the opposite.
So Bitcoin was at 20,000, and how did it get to like 40,000? Well, everybody who's holding Bitcoin didn't want to sell it to people who wanted to buy it at 20,000, so then it went to 21,000, 30,000, and eventually it got to a price where people who've been holding a long time decided, okay, I can sell a little bit of it, and then people... You know, bought it.
And so bought it high.
And that's how all stocks work. That's how everything works.
If people sold all their gold.
This is very Bernie Madoff, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You're taking from this guy and paying this guy. That's how it seems to a lot of people. In
just like gold.
And there is a lot of that in crypto, but I would say that, like, there are, it's not, you know, people aren't buying in necessarily because they just want a greater fool to buy it, you know, off of them.
And by the way, the use case, unlike Bernie Madoff, is digital transfer of value and store of value. So you can't transfer that value from Bernie Madoff. But for the first time ever, you have something that the people control, meaning anybody can run a node, just software. You can go online and see thousands of nodes all around the world of people supporting the Bitcoin network. And so that store of value, transfer of value is sort of the secret sauce, the big innovation that allows people to do.
And then just Bitcoin and crypto is very new. I mean, it's been around 13 years, but that's just like a drop in the bucket, right? And every year, it's called like the Lindy effect, if people want to look it up. Every year that something has survived gives it a greater chance of surviving further. It's like the longer Bitcoin can survive and sustain itself, I think more and more people will maybe think, well, if I have just some money in the bank, maybe I'll put like 1% into Bitcoin or whatever cryptocurrency it is. You got to make your own decisions. But I think that the more time goes by and the more the Bitcoin gets distributed, and as it gets more people buy in, it's going to become less volatile. I think it's going to be, and you know, the UX UI, the interface is going to become easier to use, I think.
And it's risky. By the way, you know, if it was not risky, then everybody would be in or out, and then there wouldn't be any speculation. Mm-hmm. But the fact is that we are so early, and there is an unknown out there, makes it speculative, and there's believers and non-believers.
And I like what Jonathan's bringing up. He brings up a lot of good points, but, you know, you got to ask yourself, is Bitcoin or crypto going away? And I think...
Hopefully. Not for you guys.
They just renamed Staples Center crypto.com. Exactly. Like, it's not going away.
10 years, that's crazy.
Mm. I'm an idiot for the record. I lost 2 Coinbase wallets. Throwing that out there.
Oh.
Words. Couldn't memorize them.
Well, if it's Coinbase, you might be able to get those back. Maybe your $100 or $300 now.
Yeah. Damn. One thing I want to talk about is how proud I am of Canada for not letting truckers have their money. I mean, that's some of the most baller American shit I've ever heard. You're doing a lot better, Canada, even though that Trudeau guy's a little bit of a fruitcake, if you ask me.
And the bigger point is, you know, regardless how you feel on the truckers, maybe you think they're doing is right or wrong, but like a government being
wrong.
A government being able to step in, maybe it's Black Lives Matter. Maybe it's a government stepping in. Maybe it's Trump's the president and he says, Black Lives Matter, we're going to freeze their bank account. Maybe you think, well, that seems pretty authoritative to me. I don't like that. Maybe I want to put my money into something where the government can't get their hands on, because I don't trust that the next person who's going to run it things is going to be, you know, not authoritative.
Who's running Bitcoin?
Nobody. That's the cool thing. You know, a lot of altcoins, a lot of other cryptocurrencies do have companies, do have CEOs, and that's fine. They're software. It's like almost like, you know, tech plays like a tech company or something. But like things that are truly decentralized, and Bitcoin's number one, nobody's running it. The code operates by itself. It's been distributed and decentralized for 13 plus years now. You got to ask yourself, what if it gets too big and a government wants to stop it? Well, how could they stop it? How could they stop it, Sarah? Right?
They can't.
And Rick, how could they stop? They can't, because what office do they go to, Rick? It's all over the country. It's in China. It's in Russia. It's not in China anymore, I guess, but it's all over the
country. Looks like someone's story just fell through.
Have an answer to that?
Yes,
the government has the ability to place higher taxes on companies that accept Bitcoin.
And they could
and
say
it's regulating it.
Yeah, they could say all exchanges, you know, if you get caught making a transaction, they could do that, Jonathan. That is always a risk. But as more time passes, it becomes less of a risk. And more politicians than ever are define themselves as Bitcoiners or crypto people. The regulations that we have seen in the past 3-4 years, like here's the thing, 5 years ago, there was no regulations. It was very uncertain how the government was going to like view this stuff. But in the past 5 years, banks are legally allowed to custody cryptocurrency, which they did before, some of them, but they just weren't sure if it was allowed. Well, now they're officially allowed. Cryptocurrency exchanges are allowed to be banks. There's plenty of regulation that's been positive.
Publicly traded companies on Wall Street have Bitcoin on their balance sheets, you know, 5 to 10. They got like 5 more in this last year. I generally think that numbers 10 is going to tend to go up. We'll see.
Companies like PayPal, you know, like getting – and PayPal's just like – you know, PayPal's so tight with Wall Street, so tight with the regulators that they –
Love Wall Street.
Yeah. Well, I mean, well, they wouldn't do this. The point is, are they going to regulate it to the point where it's going to disappear? And they wouldn't get involved like this if there's going to be, you know, sweeping regulations that obsolete it in the next year. They're getting involved. PayPal's getting involved because this is going to be viable, I think, for like at least a decade, like a longer period of time, that they know finally that they can get involved with this and the government's not going to come down on them.
How do we make it so that we can take money from the poor and give it to the rich?
Thank you, dude. Thank you, Rick.
That's what I'm looking at. I'm trying to make the 1%.
There's an app
1%er.
Called Robinhood. That's the
Robinhood.
It's kind of the opposite.
Damn it.
That's a good
all right,
question.
Well. We have to wrap it up because I have to go do a spot. But I want to say I think it's been informative for people who aren't me. I still have no idea what exactly it is that we're talking about, really. But yeah.
Let's do this again in 1 year's time and see if anybody's doing
it. Yeah.
We won't be strangers.
Yeah, that's
I guess
true.
We can't then. Well, all right,
listen, mind. I don't know what you guys were talking about most of the time. So in a lot of ways, it is kind of, you could stay strangers in some ways.
Yeah.
Again, you had the compliments up top, so you're the brother I trust more. And there's something about you. Maybe it's the hat.
What are you hiding?
I thought we kind of like with the Dane Cook thing, we kind of...
Bonded?
I mean, it felt like you were into Dane Cook.
Yeah,
it made me feel like we were further apart.
What he's done for the business of comedy, I mean, everybody recognizes that, and that's only trending like it's more digital. But also, I just, you know, like it was Harmful If Swallowed the best album of that decade? Who knows? But it was definitely one we all listened to. And
it wasn't.
Russell Peters got more famous off of YouTube than anybody.
Yeah,
oh, yeah?
I don't know.
Became an international star because of one YouTube video. And he's been trying to find the guy that put that video of him on YouTube his whole career just to give him $1 million.
Wow, that was me.
Yeah.
Damn.
He can't find the guy.
All right, well, Austin and Aaron, thank you for coming on. Hopefully people are informed about it now. You know, I feel like
I am.
I feel like somehow you guys are making money off of this.
We make money. We monetize the YouTube page.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we've invested ourselves and it's worked out. But, you know, we are just regular guys. Plenty. There's, you know, we've lost money and made money. I just want to say thank you for having us on, Rick.
Yeah, man.
And Sarah, it was a
thank
pleasure.
You.
This
yeah,
is awesome. Love the podcast.
They got
and,
a couple beers out of us.
For
it's
guys.
Worth
yes.
the drive.
Boom.
Definitely.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. Yeah. Thanks for listening, guys. Keep listening.
Yeah, thank you.
Check out their YouTube page. And
Altcoin Daily.
What's it?
Altcoin Daily.
Altcoin Daily. I'm considering unblocking them on Twitter now.
Yeah.
They seem like
that's
they're
a
decent
big consideration.
Guys. Yeah. I mean, it was just so quick.
That's how people grow on social media. You interact with each other. Oh, I'm doing your podcast. You're doing my podcast, and you interact, and you know.
It was just it was.
Now
it
we
was,
have a million followers on Twitter, and you didn't want to interact.
No,
which is fine. But like, I wanted to like.
No, you're not.
I'm not interested. I don't need. I don't need followers. I live in the real world.
These aren't plugged in.
Yeah. This whole thing is a facade. All right. Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Rick. Yep.
If you'd like to be a guest on our show, please DM IngramPod on Twitter. That's IngraHam Pod on Twitter. Special thanks to The Comedy Store and to Brian Rips for the dope-ass music.